97.5, The Fanatic.
Thought I'd help you wake up.
It's 6 a.m., and you're listening to The John Kincaid Show on 97.5, The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
It's going to be a spirited Wednesday morning here on The John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We have been enjoying women's soccer, where I am convinced that Bob Cooney will never be hired as an analyst for women's soccer.
That's not true.
On national.
I gave a great analysis a couple of minutes ago.
You don't know you're talking to the bad boy of South Jersey women's high school soccer right here.
I didn't realize
that. Yeah, he got kicked out of games and all of it. He's got a reputation.
So he's got a rep 3-0. For this?
Oh, it's my 3-0. God, they suck.
The USC, this is why Bob would not be allowed.
Cancel the Olympics.
The U.S. women are losing 3-0. It's unbelievable. We could have turned that off 10 minutes ago, and now it's 3-0, and they've just... But we will be told that, yeah, there'll be a reason for it. It's just a warm-up game. This is the wake-up call.
The women are actually good.
Yeah, I know.
The men is the one you can have a gripe with.
Well, the men. Well, when do the men play, Jamie, in the Olympics?
Oh. I don't know. They didn't.
2026. Yeah. 2026, yeah. They'll play in 2026. And, Pat, if I'm a little salty this morning, blame the guy in the room with you. Blame him. Bad start to the day.
Why?
Because Coach, the holder of information, is like, I got something to tell you. I can't tell you.
He does that a lot.
It is the most annoying thing in the world.
On National Coach, Hot Dog Day.
And
no,
Coach
no,
does so many things that are great around here. So many things that are great.
Can you name them?
But I do. I think he's a...
Because I'm honestly curious of what the great things he does.
I think he's a spectacular steward of this show. I feel safe doing this show because of Coach being here. I feel like there's somebody who is guiding the ship doing those things. But it is the most annoying characteristic of Coach that he loves to do that.
Well, you don't know me well enough then. Because there are a lot of annoying characteristics.
There it is. It's National Hot Dog Day, and he's not even fired up about it.
I have hot dogs back in my bag in the office, too.
There you go.
Why wouldn't you?
He's got hot dogs in the bag. Our 6 a.m. sponsor is Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. But even Bradford White Water Heaters, you could take a shower, and you couldn't get the stank of this women's soccer loss off of you. Terrible. Atrocious start to the Olympics. But Phillies and the Yankees last night. And Bob will talk about it later, but seriously, any game in Yankee Stadium, there is a special quality to it. Even new Yankee Stadium. I remember going to old Yankee Stadium, parking my car near the old prison, and walking over and having to pay the guy as you parked on the street to protect your car while you were gone. You would have to say, and the guy would come up to you and say, I'll look after your car for you. And you'd slip them like $10, $15 or whatever. And the guy would he would make sure your car, nothing was ever touched on my car. Other people had tires taken off their cars and otherwise. When you see Yankee Stadium, you feel like it's supposed to be important. When I see Aaron Nola on the mound, again, aggravation level through the roof. This team making a charge, this team trying to be relevant, this team trying to take it to an entirely different level so we can have a summer pennant race. And once again, one of the most overhyped, over-talked about, over just an absolute bluff of a blip on the radar athletes that has ever gone through this town, craps the bed again when they need him the most. And there have been a lot of guys coming up to try to keep the Phillies relevant. And the fact that Aaron Nola cannot answer the bell ever, like ever, 19 starts this year. He can answer the bell for, I'm looking at it and saying last night, legitimately, 4 times. He goes out and gives you a performance. You say, okay, he's not doing it 16% of the time. It sucks. It's terrible. And last night is when you seize on the momentum. Last night, when the Yankees are putting out their JV lineup, as Ryan, the intern, put it very succinctly this morning, the Yankees put out a lineup that you should be able to steamroll. Aaron Nola can't. He just can't. But I'm sure JT Realmuto will tell me again that he's an ace, and if I don't know baseball, if I don't think that he is.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
And the offense didn't help. Didn't help last night. Nothing helped. And again, it's part of, this is a me problem. This isn't a Phillies problem. This is a me problem. Because I want to be sucked in. I want to be excited. I want to be fired up about this team. I want to say it's a big game on a Tuesday night in late July. And what do I get? I get that last night. And to me, it's frustrating. And you can hear it in my voice. That's where we begin today with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach who is really getting on my nerves today, Eric Camille. We've got Mike Heavy Chevy directing the broadcast. We got Tom answering your phone calls at 610-632-0975, where you're free to vent. And Ryan Schwager, the superstar intern, with us this week from Arizona State as we get rolling today on the show. A regular season baseball game should never elicit that response, Bob, but it does. It does. I'm just being honest with the folks. It does.
Well, I got good news for you. You got Matt Moore on the mound tonight, so.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Teasing.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
No, I know. You're okay. Higher on Matt Moore than I am.
I'm
just
okay.
The fact that they're still rolling him out there ticks me off. But, yeah, look, you needed a game from Nola last night, and, you know, this is where pitchers are made. This is where aces are created. This is where, you know, teams that are going to make a push find that guy that can be that put you over the top kind of person.
He's not that.
And he's just not being that this year. And he's dipped to the level of mediocrity now, where that's the kind of outing I almost anticipate, that it's going to be mediocre when he goes out there. And obviously that is not close to being good enough. So Eflin gets shelled his last outing.
This and now
Nola
he's
thing,
injured.
Right. This Nola thing now it's not an anomaly that he goes out there and doesn't give you a decent start. It's the norm.
No, it's the norm.
And can you count on Wheeler just to carry this team? This is such a roller coaster ride that we've been on with this Phillies group coming in after the All-Star game saying, all right, it's the second season, here you go. And they win 3 of 4 and you ride that to the heights that you do, and then they lose a game. Look, Yankee Stadium's a tough place to play. It's the pinnacle of baseball. But you expect more out of Aaron Nola than you got last night. And it just puts you in that sour level that we're all in today.
But do you expect more?
And that's why I fully raise my hand and say it's a me problem.
Yeah, well, remember last time he had a start, I said, don't get your hopes up. The series is on the line. And every time Aaron Nola's been in this spot this year, he's failed. I don't expect it anymore. I mean, it sucks to say, but he's got something going on where, you know, they keep saying it's mechanical.
Yeah, it's mechanical.
Okay, fix it. I mean, we're also going through an era of baseball right now where something's been taken away from pitchers. So maybe it's that. And, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. It's not good enough. And they're not going to be a playoff team unless he becomes adequate again.
Do you know when they started checking for illegal substances? His ERA was 3.72.
Yeah.
Now it's 4.64.
Yeah, find a new substance.
Well, there has to be, Pat, and I know, and I'm not going to
pee on your hands like they'll lose or something.
I mean, it is.
Nothing wrong with some piss hands.
It's, to me, it's too much. It's so aggravating.
It's aggravating because the first time through the order, he looks fine. Every time, it seems like he looks fine. And he looks like he can go 7 or more. And then about the 5th inning is when you get the 30-pitch inning. And then he comes out for the 6th, and that's when it's like the wheels just fall off. Why can't he get through 6-7 innings? James, right? They're not going to win anything. You're not playoffs. What are we talking about playoffs for? You're not going to win anything if this guy doesn't get right. And he can't even get through 6 innings?
Playoffs?
I think he's the most overhyped in the modern era. He's the most overhyped, over-talked about Philly athlete that we've seen.
Well, that's not fair. Because
give me another one.
He's been really good up until this year.
No, he hasn't.
Yes, he has.
Jamie, this is one year.
It's not 1 year. And then he was like 3-4 ERA. Like, he's been really good. He might not be a number one, but he's been really good. You can't say he's overhyped because he's having a dumpster fire year.
I got lectured by the catcher on the team that if you don't think he's an ace, you don't know baseball.
Are you ever going to forgive him for that? Because you've been hung up on that for 3 months.
Guess what? I'll be fine when he retracts it.
He's really?
Yes. If you're going to lecture
people, you really think he's going to come out?
He's
going to
come out and say that. Like, you took that as a personal attack when he's just trying to defend his pitcher.
When you're telling people that they don't know the sport that they're talking about, when they are just talking facts.
But, like, this is you getting hung up on words. Like, you every time
Aaron Nola has a start, because at this point it's typical. What we saw last night is typical. Every single time you come out and say, well, and JT Realmuto is telling us that you don't know. Get over it, man. What?
Is he still telling us that we don't know baseball?
He hasn't said it since. Get over it. It was the throwaway comment that you have got up in your craw. It's up there. Pull it out.
Where is it? Can you find it?
I'm not digging up there. I'm not paid enough.
Where is your craw?
I was just
going to
say, is the craw the cheek?
Is the craw your ass?
Maybe.
No, I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
No, I think the craw. I think the craw is supposed to be. It's stuck in your, like it's stuck in your mouth.
Yeah, I think it's like the corner of your. Like when you're aggravated with something, the saying is, "It's in my craw."
I think it's.
I always thought it was my ass.
Pat, I fully acknowledge this is a me problem.
So stuck in one's craw is to disturb the peace of mind of someone, especially by repeated disagreeable acts. That new pop song sticks in his craw every time it's played.
Like. There's a certain.
So it's your head.
There's a certain song that I sing that, you know, for
there's
a jingle.
There's many songs
that
you sing.
That a jingle that you don't like.
Yeah. Crawl in Urban Dictionary is the gullet of an insect or a bird, the stomach of an animal.
So it's in your stomach. So it goes up your ass.
All I will say is this. Pat, I fully acknowledge this is a me problem.
Hyper focused on the ass today, Bob.
I laugh at the hills people will die on, and then they act like it didn't happen. That's what I'm saying.
What do you want him to say? Like, come out and be like, oh, by the way, guys, a couple months ago I said he was an ace. Yeah,
how about
he
leadership?
Sucks.
How about leadership of, I would love to hear JT Realmuto behind a microphone say, you know what? We all in this locker room need to raise our level of performance. We have let people down. And you know what? We're going to turn it around. We're going to be better. We've underachieved as a team. We shouldn't be 2.5
then
games
then he'd be
out.
A liar just like saying that Nola is an ace, saying we're going to turn it
you
around.
You don't think they've underachieved?
No, I said he'd be a liar if he says we're going to turn it around. Oh, you're a 500 team. That's just what you are.
I mean, I think they've underachieved, but I think they are what they are.
See, that's what is Bob haunts me because I sit and I'm pissed at the game last night, and all I can hear is Bob Cooney. Well, this is what 500 teams do. This is what they do. You just it haunts me, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, it's no fun, and I don't love saying it. I really don't. I would love for this team to win 13 or 14. But they just keep proving over and over and over again
that they are.
They are what they are, and that's about a 500 team.
Hopefully things change. I don't know if anyone was watching MLB Network last night, but it appears that there is a very lukewarm market on Cole Hamels. That was the discussion. They say, why hasn't a team pounced on Cole Hamels yet? And there was the velocity was one of the major things, is whether he would be able to be.
Yeah.
But velocity was never his.
No, it wasn't, but his bread and butter was his changeup. So correct. If you don't have at least a little velocity, you're not changing up from anything. You're just throwing slow pitches.
And that is the truth. And what I hear, if you can't keep people off guard. But
right.
I was sort of hoping that maybe that was going to end up being the thing that would be the shot in the arm to save this team down the stretch. So it doesn't. Yeah, I know. It would have been nice, and I retracted it the other day and turned around and joined your camp and said, okay, just spend the money and go bring in Cole Hamels. And then I hear them talking about, teams didn't come away going, yeah.
Well, that was the problem, is you joined the camp and they found out about it.
See, that's what happened.
And then they said, you know what, we're good.
But, you know, look, it's only one loss here. All right?
It is.
You won 3 out of 4 against, who was in your Miami, right?
Yes.
And then you have a two-game stretch, a short little stretch up in New York.
Then you get 8 at home again.
Exactly. You had to think going into this, all right, you got to take 1 of 2 up in New York.
That's what
take
I thought.
Take 1 of 2.
Yeah.
Take 1 of 2. You still have that shot tonight. Now,
and the Mets
lost
last night.
That's being the optimistic. Yeah, the Mets lost again last night. So it's still just a 2.5 game.
It is. And
with the Mets having one game in hand.
We'll see what happens. We will see what happens tonight. Hey, if you're looking for a job, Aaron Nola, contact Express Employment Professionals and be part of their national hiring event. Go to expresspros.com, find your nearest office, and call Express today. Do you want, Pat, I wanted to ask you this question. Have you seen enough to say that next year, do you want opening day roster to have Aaron Nola on it? Is it too early to ask that question?
I've had that thought in my head of, am I done with him? Because no one's been burned by Aaron Nola more than me.
Correct.
But I mean, it's bad.
Do you want him on the roster next year? Opening day 2022. Have you seen enough?
I'm not ready to cut bait.
Okay.
No.
Jamie?
No. Like, why are we cutting bait?
Okay.
The guy's having, like, what's this, his fourth year as a starter or whatever? We're so quick to get rid of him. That's it. You know.
No, I think it's been longer than that.
It's longer.
I think this is like his sixth season.
He's still a viable pitcher.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think he's. It's like
just
bait.
Just last year. I mean, I know shortened season, all that, but 12 starts. He had a 3.2 ERA, a 12.1 strikeouts per nine. Mm-hmm. His WHIP was 1.07. Ready to give up on that.
What was it? Second half of last year, though.
I don't have the splits.
Yeah, I mean, it's
no, he's not a good August, September.
It's a trend.
His September stinks.
It's
a
trend.
Yeah.
And so when do you want to win? You want to win, like, late in the year? Like, this is when we want him to win now? And I'm going to need it. Hey, FanFest 2021, tomorrow, 8 a.m., there's going to be an online ticket raid tomorrow at 8 a.m. Coach has told us about it. Shockingly, he let us know about it. Because I thought he was just going to say, I've got something that I'm going to tell you and I can't tell you. So this is pretty exciting. It's tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., Coach. You're letting the cat out of the bag, which isn't you.
Yeah, we have a limited number of tickets available tomorrow at 8 a.m. So we'll open up the ticket window and you can download a free pair of FanFest tickets. And hopefully we're going to be announcing some names soon.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook and Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia, which is the official hotel partner and after party of 97.5 The Fanatics FanFest 2021. It is on Saturday, September the 18th at Xfinity Live. It's a free event, but you do need a ticket. You got to be 21 to enter FanFest. And by the way, that Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia is also the home of another fine event.
That's right.
Tonight, right?
Yeah, Beers with Bob tonight through September. We're going to be there every Wednesday night. Me and Andrew Salchunas, come on out. 6 to 7, but we'll hang around before and after. And if you want to have a beer, we'll do that.
I'm predicting beyond September. That's just me.
Yeah.
I'm making a prediction.
Hopefully, we'll see.
That Beers with Bob just just takes off and is
it's
always fun.
Tonight.
It does.
Yeah.
The NBA season ended last night. And it's another reason why I'm salty. Because I saw today, as I just glance at the television, I have to see Mike Budenholzer.
It's your boy.
Celebrating a championship. Just hope there was an Uber involved last night. And hopefully they had a great, great time celebrating their championship. It pisses me off. Giannis, amazing. Giannis had an amazing...
He made more free throws last night than Ben Simmons made in 7 games versus the Hawks.
They waited 50 years.
Put that in your lip and savor it.
Put it in your craw?
Yeah.
They waited 50 years. And do you know any Bucks fans? Actually, I congratulated the one Bucks fan that I know.
I don't.
I sent him a tweet this morning. I said, the one guy I know is a Bucks fan.
I don't.
That was exciting. It's exciting to see their fan base.
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean, 65,000 to 70,000 people.
Easily.
Oh, my God.
It was a sea of green. It could have been us.
Yeah. Well, we
wouldn't have been green.
We wouldn't have gotten by Milwaukee, I don't think. It's cool. I always like when a fan base that's long starved like that gets their due, unless it's Atlanta. I wish them the worst.
So is that what we're saying now? They hate you too, so it's good sense of mutual. Is that what we're saying now, though, we wouldn't have beaten Milwaukee anyway.
I don't think we would have with the way Simmons.
If we
Simmons,
got by the Hawks,
you wouldn't have beat anybody with the way Ben Simmons was playing. Anyone in that playoffs, you wouldn't have beaten with the way Ben Simmons finished.
I had a gentleman ask me yesterday, did Ben Simmons have a bad series because of something that Atlanta did? And I instinctively just said, no. Because Atlanta's not that good at defensive club, and they were missing one of their best defensive players. Arguably, their best defensive player was that injured in the series. So, and then I thought to myself, well, you better ask Bob and see if your opinion's right. I don't think there was anything that Atlanta did that made Ben Simmons bad. He said, couldn't Ben Simmons... He said, nobody was talking about Ben Simmons being horrible against the Wizards. So he's like, could it have changed? If they had gotten to the next series, wouldn't it have been a clean sheet of paper? And couldn't Ben Simmons have... been a different player versus the Bucks? I said, I'm not so sure, because I think the Bucks are a much better defensive club than Atlanta.
Scott Brooks did this.
Yeah, the best defense against Ben Simmons was Ben Simmons. I mean, he was his own worst enemy in that series. I don't think Atlanta did anything tremendous to stop him. The fouling and the hackabend and stuff like that, it played into his head.
Once it started in the first half of that Washington series, he started unraveling.
Mentally, he unraveled.
Yeah. But don't worry.
I remember
he's back in the lab working on his game.
He is?
Even if he's not going to post it, his shooting coach will.
Oh.
Everybody get excited.
And guess what? Yeah, the shooting coach, I heard discussion yesterday on the Fanatic where he's like, well, Ben didn't post the stuff.
No, he didn't.
The shooting coach did. I'm like, yeah. So you're telling me the shooting coach posts that without Ben's credit. It's not Ben. Guy was trying to defend himself. He goes, it wasn't Ben posting stuff of him working out. It was his shooting coach. I'm like, yeah. So the shooting coach is saying, hey, Ben, by the way, I just posted your workout without your permission.
And by the way,
totally orchestrated.
Completely.
Come on.
And Chris Johnson, the shooting coach, in the lab on his birthday.
Isn't that great?
I don't care.
Who cares?
He's playing basketball on his birthday. That's great.
I saw in his lab on his birthday, and he was laying down getting massaged.
Yeah, like, oh my God, it's your birthday.
Not a bad thing, a birthday massage, Bob.
I guess, yeah.
Birthday massage is
a good
thing.
That's great, yeah, but I don't care.
That's how Robert Kraft usually celebrates his birthday, a little massage.
That's in a strip mall in Jupiter, Florida.
Well, when you got a Groupon, you got a Groupon. Those things expire.
Check for the secret cameras.
Yeah.
Do the sweep.
Am I supposed to be excited that he's working out on his birthday?
Like, and guess what?
I don't give a damn. Everybody works on their birthday.
I guess there are some Ben defenders that have called Mike's show.
Oh, there's still a lot of them.
And they're like, it's not him who was posting the video. He didn't post it. I'm like, yeah. His shooting coach just decided, hey, Ben, by the way, without your permission.
Yeah.
I'm telling everybody that you're working hard during the off season.
Yeah, I didn't. Okay. We're not doing it again.
We're not. Good.
No. And I need other people to join. Like, I saw people go, oh, look at him. He's back in the gym. He's working on it. Stop. Just stop, please. Stop. I can't take it. I can't do an off season of this. Everybody just stop. He's a basketball player that's playing basketball. Okay?
Okay, you know in the, like, at Three Mile Island and stuff where they put you in that special shower where they, like, you know, you may have been exposed to something? The first segment today has just dragged me down, so we're going to have more. We have more positivity coming. I promise you. Things are about to get positive. But it's just venting.
Our pets' heads are falling off, John.
And Coach has just really set the day off on a great thing. On National Hot Dog Day, I would have thought, Coach, the biggest fan of the wiener that I know.
Yeah. Where's our wieners?
I would have thought Coach would have had something lined up.
I would have thought so too.
Hot dogs in studio. Hot dogs in. I don't know. Maybe he was busy with Fan Fest.
I don't know how much he loves wieners after this poor showing today.
Love the big wiener
because he won't tell you anyway.
No, he won't tell you. No. I was going to do something, but I decided not to. I'll tell you later.
Hey guys, I got something to tell you. What? Nothing. It's unbelievable. I can't tell you.
I eat my wieners privately.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah,
bet you do.
This is kind of awkward.
Two important cogs in the Eagles' defense, and without both of them, this season's going to head south. We'll see what we think. Next, it's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. And I can assure you that as a two-time cancer survivor, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, every single person who has donated to fund cancer research and helped great organizations like the American Association for Cancer Research, which is the official charity of the John Kincaid Show. You know, if you've been touched by cancer directly in your family or through someone that you care about or a coworker, join us in working to absolutely have these diseases just destroyed by making a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research. Go to aacr.org/fanatic because donations from private citizens like you and me are going to add up to big breakthroughs. And I know that I've told you about it many, many times. There are 17 million people who are alive today, getting up, going to work like I do. Happy to be here in life because of the fact of great donations from people like you. Organizations like the American Association for Cancer Research kick butt on a daily basis. So go to aacr.org/fanatic and donate today. I will tell you, thank you, because cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's go to the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day, or it's got the opportunity to be so. So let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. And why is Adam Schefter with us? Why do we get the pleasure of talking with Adam?
Because he's brought to us by our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download America's top-rated sportsbook app today. I cashed in a little Colin Morikawa on Sunday, thanks to the people at DraftKings.
I need to know who Adam Schefter's golfer was this past weekend that he teased us with last week.
I know who it was.
Who was it? Adam?
I made a poor decision.
He let us down.
Justin Thomas.
I picked him in our pool.
I thought he was prime for a big week, and he just could not putt there. It was very frustrating to watch. I should have gone safe and just laid up with Brooks Koepka or Dustin Johnson. By the way, that's what I forgot to mention. So on Friday, I'm in my house doing work, and I'm watching the British Open. And the night before, Bryson DeChambeau complains about his driver, how much he hates his driver, whatever, you know, profane language he used. I don't have to use it. And the next day, I'm watching, and Brooks Koepka walks off the course and says to the interviewer, Todd Lewis, "Love my driver." So I tweet it, and 9 minutes later, I look down, and Brooks Koepka has tweeted at me.
Yeah.
Next time.
Yeah, what?
Next time at me, yeah.
What's that? I mean, and you were pointing out the fun that he had with his comment where he was doing the little dig at DeChambeau, and it was meant in fun. I didn't understand. He's got rabbit ears, dude. He's got rabbit ears.
I cannot tell you how blown away I was by that. Because I was trying to think if an athlete or anybody has ever tweeted at me that soon after a match competition game. I don't ever remember anybody ever doing that, ever. And this guy's in the British Open. He just finished this great round. He walks up, and it was a harmless tweet. I couldn't believe he said it. It was so fun and entertaining. I just pointed it out. He didn't follow me. He doesn't follow me on Twitter, so I didn't think he's ever going to see it. And then he within 9 minutes, he's posting about it. And I think he meant it in good nature. I think. Maybe he's taking a shot at
it. No, I don't think it was. His entire tone didn't seem good-natured at all.
That's what I thought, too. I cannot tell you how surprised I was. And long story short, tying it all together, I should have gone Brooks there. That was a mistake.
Yeah, there you go. That was a loss. All right, right now, do you believe the Philadelphia Eagles have a legit open battle for their left tackle position?
Well,
going in, Nick Sirianni does not know who he wants to win that job.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Coaches, new coaches and new schemes and new organizations, they have an idea of what they want to see. And then training camp happens and preseason games happen and things happen that you wouldn't necessarily expect to see. So, yeah, he could have an idea. But the fact of the matter is the guys on the field, ultimately, they'll decide it themselves, and it'll become obvious for all the players and all the coaches to see. You can have an idea, a sense, but that's the beauty of training camp at every spot, not just left tackle. You could think that, boy, Jalen Reagor is poised to explode this year and be the number one guy, and all of a sudden – their number one pick could be the guy that shines and decides that, you know, he's getting the ball. You just don't know how it's going to play out. But I think he's got an idea, and you'll let the competition play out.
Schefter, you created a lot of content for a lot of shows on these airwaves last week when you brought up Deshaun Watson as many times as you did and talking about the Eagles being in a good position should they choose to go that way. Have you heard anything more on the front of Deshaun Watson, whether it relates to the Eagles or not?
Well, I think everybody right now is in a holding pattern on Deshaun Watson. And the two biggest stories going into training camp are Aaron Rodgers and his future and Deshaun Watson and his future. And by this time next week, I believe every team will be in training camp. So I think we should have a little bit more clarity when we talk next week as to what.
Stop mouthing off, dog. Enough.
Exactly. I live in the dog pound. My, you know, the dog's life all the time. But I think we'll know more next week and have a little bit more clarity. But as of right now, the interesting part about Deshaun Watson is I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen. Is he going to report? Is he not going to report? Is Houston going to excuse him? Is he going to expect him? Is it going to be open to listening? To date, Houston has not engaged in any trade talks and not shown any inclination that it's open to listening to offers. Now, do I think that could and will change? Yes. I just don't know whether that will be this week, next month, or after the season. So everybody's waiting to see what Houston does and how the Texans handle this. And when they decide to get into action here, and that's from the football element. And then there's the legal element that nobody knows how it's going to play out because Deshaun Watson has maintained his innocence all along. And I don't know that, you know, he feels inclined to settle something that he doesn't believe he did. And there are investigations going on between the police department there and the NFL. And so just a lot of questions. And we all want answers. You know, I've had people from my own office, various departments, call me, hey, can you just give us an idea here of what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun? I said, I wish I could.
No.
And if I could, I would.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Adam.
Well, I have an idea, I'm not as optimistic as others on Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I know that we've heard a lot of people talk about him showing up, but I don't share in their optimism, and we'll see how that one turns out.
Yeah, Adam. So to an Eagles story, there was a perceived mopiness with Zach Ertz last year, even a blow up fight with GM Howie Roseman prior to the season that led to some unhappiness with his contract. Yada yada yada. It's certainly looking like Zach Ertz is almost 100% going to be an Eagle this year. Is there a sense from the team or the Ertz camp or around the league that Ertz is going to be committed to being the Zach Ertz we all knew and loved in this town? Are the Eagles comfortable where his head is at? And is there still a slight chance he could be moved, or is that pretty much over?
Well, the issue with him being moved is that there has to be a team that's willing to compensate the Eagles for the player they believe he still is, even though he had a down year last year. And there's got to be a team that's willing to take on a salary when he didn't play up to that last year. So you got to compensate the player with that salary when he wants a new contract. You've got to compensate the team when they hold him still in high regard, even though there were all the incidents and discussions that there were last year. And so it leads you to think and believe he's going to be there. Now, when you talk about, Zach Ertz, to me, I just think, look, he's like any other player who would like to be rewarded and be paid, and we all want to be paid as much as we can for our work and effort and time. So for him to do that, he needs to play better than he did last year. Right? It's pretty simple. That's the great part about the NFL. You play, you get paid. You don't perform, you don't get paid. And so he's a pro. He's going to have enough pride that he's going to want to play well. Is it his ideal circumstance? No. But you got to get through that, past that, and find something within yourself to be the pro that he's always been, to play that way, and then he'd be rewarded for it, right? So why would he not play up to Zach Ertz's capabilities?
Tell you this, if you look at that roster, Adam, it's like if you were just to say they're 10 best guys on the roster, 7 or 8 of them won't be here in probably 2 or 3 years. So,
well,
I mean,
John, that's the case with every team. You could say that's the case with every team. The turnover rate on every team, I think teams turn over an average of like 16, 17, 18 guys per year.
But is the age rate the same? Could you find that most teams have, 8 of their best 10 guys are probably on the last couple years of their NFL careers, maybe?
Hey, the Green Bay Packers have the Aaron Rodgers situation and every one of their top 5 wide receivers in the last year of their contract right now. That's the Green Bay Packers off the top of my head. So I think every team now, you know, Indianapolis has got Braden Smith heading into the last year, Darius Leonard heading into the last year, Quentin Nelson into the fourth year. Now, Indy's going to want to keep all of them. So you would think that they will. Carson Wentz, let's see what happens there, right? I mean, the point, I think every team's got roster. Who are the eight guys in Philadelphia? See, you got Zach Ertz. You got who else?
If you go, we were talking this morning with
Fletcher Cox, Brandon Lane Graham, Johnson.
Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks. I mean, you've just got, there's a ton of the older guys that were looking at the end of their careers just saying, when is the rebuild here or the retooling hasn't even close to being begun.
Well, and that's why all those draft picks are as important as they are if they're not traded for a quarterback. And that's why all these roster moves are important. And so I don't think that that's anything unusual with the rate at which NFL rosters turn over. I don't. Now, those are some high-profile guys who have produced a lot and been around a long time and helped the city win a Super Bowl, so they mean a lot. But every team goes through that all the time.
Hopefully it'll be a good one for us. If Coach gets you a helicopter, can we get you into FanFest? Because Coach is like, you know, he's on our big FanFest coming up on a Saturday during the NFL season. What are your Saturdays like? Are they spent at home? I mean, if he got you a helicopter to come in,
you know,
and
it's funny, I was talking to Greg Schiano, the Rutgers head coach, and we were talking about, you know, he wants me to talk to some of his guys, his players, you know, just about dealing with the media and whatnot. And he's like, oh, I'll helicopter you. I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't blame you.
You know?
Yeah.
And more important than me, being that I don't know that I've ever helicoptered anywhere. You know, I'm not, you know, living the Michael Rubin lifestyle.
Or the Chris Mortensen lifestyle. You know what I mean? Come on. You know, Mort.
Yeah, I don't know if I said to my wife, honey, I'm going to go take a helicopter to Philadelphia or New Jersey to go do the Fan Fest or Greg Show. Or I don't know how she would feel about me taking a helicopter. She's like
smart,
you know,
man.
She you know, she's already like you know, I already probably annoy her enough that I don't need to add that to her plate.
Thank you, Adam. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate
it,
buddy.
Should be interesting next week, guys. It'll be interesting.
Yes, camp opens.
Can't wait.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.